Does human life matter? Many today think the answer is no. The idea that human life is intrinsically valuable is dying, says author and intellectual historian Richard Weikart. He traces the dangerous trends in Western thinking that could spell what he calls the death of humanity. In his new book, The Death of Humanity and the Case for Life, CSC senior fellow Richard Weikart traces the roots of this attitude that humans are just advanced apes wearing clothes. It will probably not surprise anyone that Darwinism played a key role in this development. The book provides many shocking examples of the dehumanizing tendencies that flow from the Darwinian human is just another animal mentality. Those consequences, as Weikart explains, are coming home to roost, and they could be truly frightening. The Death of Humanity, written by Richard Weikart and released by Regnery Press, is now available online at Amazon.com and most other bookstores. Be sure to get your copy of The Death of Humanity by Richard Weikart.
This is Todd Butterfield for ID the Future, part three and final part of a very important discussion with Dr. Richard Weikart and his extremely significant new book, one that you will want to have for yourself. It's called The Death of Humanity and the Case for Life. Dr. Weikart, I want to come back to Noma. And what is Noma?
Noma is the idea that there is two separate spheres of knowledge, one about science and the empirical world, and the other about religion, morality, and other kinds of things that usually they will consider as subjective. But in essence, they are sort of giving primacy to their own scientific views because they claim that the scientific views are objective and the religion morality things are subjective. So they believe that there's one that has more merit than the other. And in fact, if you look at the person that coined this very term of noma, which means non-overlapping magisteria, that is that these two knowledge spheres are kept completely separate. Stephen Jay Gould was the paleontologist at Harvard University who coined that particular term. He really couldn't keep to that himself because in his own writings, he made claims about the science that he was talking about that claimed that it did have moral significance in various kinds of ways. At one point, he makes the comment that natural history is just contingent, and contingent meaning just happens by chance. So he made the claim at the end of the book that this gives us then as humans the freedom to make whatever choices we want to make in life. And so he saw that as being exhilarating and liberating. But that's a moral kind of position that he's taking there. But he claims that it's based on his science. So he couldn't keep things compartmentalized the way that he tried. But rather, his compartmentalization is an attempt to try to suppress those who want to make claims about science based on their understanding of morality or religion or other kinds of things like that. So he wants to basically say that religion can make whatever claims it wants as long as they're not empirical, as long as they don't have anything to do with the real world. You can say whatever you want. Science is going to tell us about the real world, though.
It reminds me of the lengths to which folks have attempted to explain that the golden rule can be attributed to evolution, and you make a great example of that in chapter two.
Yeah, Darwin himself, in fact, talks about the golden rule in Descent of Man, where he talks about how he believes that that has evolved over time and that it's been produced by group selection and other kinds of things like that. Although other Darwinists were going to come later on and debate that particular point, and some were going to dispute it and such later on, and some outright deny it and claim that it doesn't have anything to do with evolution. So the Darwinists themselves can't agree as to what morality has come out of the Darwinian process. It seems to me that in many cases, what they're doing is they're taking the morality that they grew up in and that they've been ingrained into them through their upbringing, education, and such, and they're just sort of reading that back into the evolutionary process rather than vice versa.
That's what it seems like to me, too. You also make a lot more references in chapter two, very significant ones, where materialists attribute good things to Darwinistic elements. Oliver Wendell Holmes, Julian Huxley, you talk about a rap singer, Baba Brinkman. And when I read those things and the statements that they make that degrade humankind, even below animals in some extents, it makes me, and maybe I don't know if it does you, but feel like we're right on the edge of a completely different way of societal behavior, where if enough of this continues to foment will be in anarchy. Do you see that coming, or do you have a little more hope than that?
Well, the title of my book, The Death of Humanity, does suggest that we could go in that direction, although I'm hopeful that we're not going to continue. My book is a warning. I mean, I'm hoping that that's not going to be the trajectory that our society will take. I think that's the way we're going right now. I think we're going further and further in that direction. And we see it in the assisted suicide laws that are gradually gaining ground in Europe and in the United States. California, where I'm living here, just passed last year an assisted suicide bill that's going to go into effect on June the 9th of this year. So the forces that are trying to degrade the value of human life, it does seem to me, are gaining traction in our society, but we can turn it back. That's what my book is about. And I'm hopeful that my book will have an impact there, along with others. I'm not alone, of course, in making these arguments. So together with others, I'm hopeful that my book can make an impact and change people's hearts and change people's minds so that they will begin to value human life and value all human lives equally, not defining certain people as non-persons, which is a very popular thing right today. Maybe that's one point we should make here too, while I'm on it. A lot of bioethicists today, Peter Singer at Princeton University, holds an endowed chair, being a prime example of this, but there are many others, are defining certain people as non-persons so that they don't have human rights any longer. And in fact, Singer and many of his compatriots will argue quite forthrightly that a child before it's born, and he would say even after it's born for a while, is less valuable than many other animals and is a non-person. And people toward the end of their lives, if they lose cognitive functions, he would say they're non-persons too. So basically what's happening is we're making these categories of people that we're saying are non-persons so that we then can salve our consciences and we can dispose of them, kill them, do whatever we want with them, and claim that it's not murder.
Well, you make me hopeful in your title as well as what you talk about in the rest of the book. I just wonder if you think it's possible to change the minds of materialists. I would love to use the book as a means to start the dialogue with materialists and get the information out there. But is it possible to change the minds of materialists? Can it just be done purely philosophically, scientifically, or does one have to move on into that acceptance of intelligence in our design? And do you talk about how to bridge that in your book?
Well, I believe it needs to be done on a broad front. I believe there's a lot of different ways that we have to approach. And I'm hoping that my book will actually get into the hands of some secularists who will read it and get started thinking about these things. I'm not necessarily hopeful that my book will convert a lot of materialists who are hardcore materialists just by reading the book. I'm hopeful it will get them thinking, though. And maybe that thinking process will lead them to other things where they can reconsider things about intelligent design, about the existence of God, about a lot of different issues. And in my book, I do make a very forthright case for Christianity as being the answer to the truths that we know about ourselves, about the sanctity of human life and such. But I'm hopeful that my book will just sort of get the conversation started and give tools to younger people as well, and people that aren't necessarily committed one way or another and are confused and don't know which way to turn at this point. I'm hoping that it will sway them in the right direction. And so even if we don't convert the people that are materialists today, if we can have an impact on the coming generations, that'll be powerful progress as well.
Well, I think your book is going to have a really substantial impact. It already has on me, just by virtue of how carefully and clearly it puts together the pieces in history and what the ramifications are of a philosophy that they may not even realize that they have, but it does ultimately lead one towards certain conclusions, the least of which is that it's okay to kill people who are of lesser value and just increase racism, etc. And you make such a good case for that in chapter 1 and 2. As far as I'm concerned, those are really a good place to start with materialists and just open it, read it, have a dialogue, and see where it goes. I wish you the very best in the publicity of this book and its growth and its distribution. The book that we've been discussing today with Dr. Richard Weikart is The Death of Humanity and the Case for Life. Excellent book. I wish we could talk about the rest of the chapters, all extremely dense and rich and full. What's coming down the pike?
I have another book coming out in September called Hitler's Religion, which looks at, as the title suggests, Hitler's religious beliefs. And some of you who have read my earlier book, Hitler's Ethic, have got just a real brief preview of that. But I give a pretty full account of what Hitler believed religiously. And the way that ties in, by the way, with intelligent design to some degree is that I explore the question of, was Hitler a creationist? That's one of the chapters of the book. So be looking out for that.
Okay. Well, I wish you the best in all of that. And I really appreciate your time, Dr. Weikart. This is Todd Butterfield for ID the Future.
Does human life matter? Find out in the new book, The Death of Humanity, written by Richard Weikart and released by Regnery Press. The Death of Humanity is now available online at Amazon.com and most other bookstores. Be sure to get your copy of The Death of Humanity by Richard Weikart.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute, 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.